Awesome. Hi, everyone. Oh, isn't it great to be in the presence of the Lord and serving the Lord? It was just amazing. Thank you, Ben, and your team. It was great worship. But we have a special event on today, and that is we have Jerry and Marcy Plunkett from Montreal here, and they're going to be talking to us about the incredible opportunity to take Quebec for Jesus. How many would like to see that happen? And they're no stranger to this place and this house and this platform. So let's give Jerry and Marcy a great welcome as they come on up here right now. Yeah. Jerry, welcome. Over to you. Say back to him, que Dieu te bénisse. Que Dieu te bénisse.
Yeah. Thank you. John does fantastic in French. You know, when he comes to Montreal, he'll stand behind the platform and there'll be someone there to interpret, and he'll just wheel out in French, you know, a whole lot of sentences, and everybody's, oh. Well, they're not shocked anymore because they, you know, you've really, really surprised everybody with how proficient you are. And I think John just needs, as he was saying a few minutes ago, just needs to move to Montreal for a year or so. And what do you think, Carol? And then yeah. Oh, well, it's just such a privilege to be here. John and Carol have been such friends to us and such friends to Montreal and to Quebec since about 95. Marcy and I came to this church in 1994 when the church was still meeting on the airport strip, and God wrecked us. The Holy Spirit just ruined us for anything else but His presence. And so we've just been enjoying living in the river of God since 1994. And John and Carol have been to us in Montreal many, many times. And our church has is now a Catch the Fire church. We're Catch the Fire Montreal. And we're just anxious for all of you to come and visit us. And we'll talk to you about that in a minute. Just really sorry to hear that Steve isn't well. I've had some back problems, and boy, it can be really, really trouble. And it started, I guess, when he was playing golf. Yeah. I don't know if you know the story about playing golf in heaven. And, you know, the foursome comes up to the first tee, and the first hole is this. It's a long par three, you know, and it's a tough course. The green's protected by bunkers and a small lake in front of the green. And so Moses gets up there and he, you know, puts his ball on the tee and he sends it off, and beautiful, right down the fairway, but it's going to be short of the green, you know. And so it hits the fairway and starts rolling to this pond that's fronting the green. And you know, Moses, you know, takes his club, puts it in his bag, pulls out his staff, lifts up his staff, and the pond just splits in two, and the ball just rolls right up and rolls up onto the green. So, yeah. Good shot, Mo. And so then David gets up, and you know, David puts his ball in, and he sends it out, and it's a nice shot up there, but oh boy, it looks like it's going to be off to the right a bit, so he takes out his sling, and shoo, hits a stone, just glances that ball, and knocks the ball, and it just rolls up onto the green. Eh? Way to go, Davey. Good shot, man. Jesus gets up and puts his ball on the tee and sends it out there, and beautiful, right down the center, you know. But again, it's going to be short a little bit, and everybody kind of looks at Jesus, and he's... All of a sudden, the ball hits the water and just kind of rolls right across the water and up onto the green. Way to go, Jesus. So, you know, the fourth member of the foursome gets up, ball on the tee, and knocks away. Oh, shanks it just right off, out of bounds. Ball goes way over, but hits a rock, ricochets way over the other side of the fairway, hits a tree, and right into the pond. All of a sudden, a fish comes out with a ball in his mouth, spits it up on the shore. Right at that moment, an eagle sweeps down, grabs the ball in its talons, and is flapping away with the ball, when all of a sudden a lightning bolt comes from heaven, a clap of thunder. The startled eagle drops the ball, hits the green, rolls along into the cup, hole in one. Moses looks at Jesus and says, I hate playing with your father. Actually, I think if it was the father, I think he'd probably let us win. You know, the way fathers, we do that when we're playing with our kids when they're small, you know. Always let them win. Well, it's just so wonderful to be here with you, and want to share with you a very interesting challenge for missions. And before we do, let's look at Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. We'll just read two verses. Verses that you know well. And verse 7, Psalm 2. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. Can we just ask him for the nations right now? So we just ask you, Father, as the body of Christ, we ask you for the nations. We just thank you that Jesus will receive his inheritance. For he's so worthy to receive all the honor and the glory and the power and the praise due his name. And may the nations come to him, even this day, let there be another step as nations are given to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to invite you to an exotic missions destination. And let me show you just a couple of photos. Maybe you'll recognize where that exotic missions destination is. There's one photo. Anyone ever been there? This one will probably give it away. Of course, it's Montreal. Montreal, Canada. An exotic missions destination. You know, our beautiful old port. Our outdoor staircases. They have staircases outside the small apartment buildings, not inside. You know, and of course, the old world charm of Montreal. Many of you maybe have already walked down the streets of old Montreal, and it's just a wonderful place to visit, a wonderful place, whether it be summer or winter. It's just a beautiful spot. Now, if I were to have said that we're going to invite you on a missions trip to an exotic destination where less than 1% of the population would claim a born-again experience, you're not going to be thinking about Quebec, are you? Yeah, you're going to think of, you know, maybe Algeria or Saudi Arabia or North Korea. But the province of Quebec has the same spiritual statistics as countries such as those. As amazing as that may sound. So it really is the greatest missions opportunity in the Western Hemisphere. You can go from the Arctic Circle down to Tierra del Fuego at the tip of Chile. You won't find anything like the province of Quebec. And it is such a great missions opportunity. And it's amazing to think that this missions opportunity is really only minutes from the doorstep of many Canadians and even many Americans. And it's only a five-hour drive from Toronto. It's the land of the Habs, Montreal Canadiens. It's the land of poutine and bagels and smoked meat, Ken. Ken's been down for some smoked meat in Montreal. And it's a land of a very passionate and entrepreneurial people. Now, for many, many generations, they were told by traditional religion that they were not to try to become businessmen, that money was not of God. And they were really oppressed, even by religion. for many generations. But as they have found a certain secular freedom, that the passionate entrepreneurial nature of the Quebecois people has started to come more and more to the fore. And so, you know, we export a lot of things from Quebec and Montreal now. And, you know, Bombardier gives us planes, trains, and Skidoos and Sea-Doos. And you have Cirque du Soleil, and we have Céline Dion, and many wonderful things come from Quebec these days. But they're a very passionate people. They're a very courageous people, even to the point sometimes of being reckless. I mean, you realize that Canada's national aerobatic ski team, you know, the guys that do the 6 or 7 flips and the 6 or 7 whatever they are and on these ski hills, you know that the majority of them are French Canadians. You know why that is? Because they're crazy. And they're reckless. And they have this abandonment, this courage to go perhaps where others wouldn't go. Most of North America was mapped out by their ancestors when they came from France. But as we look at this tremendous missions opportunity that's just a few hours from us, I want to just kind of help you to understand some of what the Quebec people are all about. And one thing that's important to understand is that they are not French. Like, you would never come to someone in Quebec and say, "Oh, so you're French." They would immediately look at you and say, "I'm not French. I'm a Quebecois." Because it would be like saying to someone from Mexico, "Oh, so you're Spanish." No. I speak Spanish. I'm Mexican. So I speak French, but I'm Quebecois. They would not consider themselves French. They are a separate people group that has developed here in North America. The Quebecois people. And Quebec, of course, is a big chunk of Canada geographically. It's a big area, and it's also the home of where we live, Montreal, which is an island. Did you know that Montreal was an island? If we could maybe put that up on the screen. Can we get that on the screen? Yeah, there we go. So Montreal is really an island in the middle of the St. Lawrence River. And to kind of help you with a few of the statistics, Quebec has about 8 million people, and almost half of those people live in Montreal, in metropolitan Montreal. Now, here's some of the interesting things about Quebec. Less than 1% of French Canadians would claim any kind of born-again experience. But 0.6%. Now, you know, in many parts of North America, you know, 1 out of 6 or 7 people would claim to be born again. In some parts of the States, that's 1 out of 4 people. In Quebec, about 1 out of 400 people would claim to know Jesus in a personal way. 1 out of 400. And because of that, you know, we're faced with some interesting problems in the province of Quebec. Among the Quebecois people is where you'll find the highest youth suicide rate of any Western culture. That includes Europe and any Western culture, with, of course, the exception of some of our First Nations peoples in North America. But among the Western world, it's the highest rate of youth suicide. It's also where there is the highest number of common law relationships. 30% of all couples in Quebec live in a common law relationship. Compare that to 8.2% for the rest of Canada. These are Statistics Canada figures. According to the World Health Organization, between 10 and 15,000 homeless youth live on the streets of Montreal. And most of those youth, to survive, end up in prostitution and drugs. And you see, we don't realize the absolute incredible blessing of the gospel influence in Ontario and English Canada for generations. And when this gospel influence has been lost or was never really there, these are the kinds of problems that develop. And so we have just, you know, really high rates of drug abuse and alcohol and all of those kinds of things. And here's Operation World. You know Operation World, that ministry? Here's something that they said. Quebec is a unique region that has experienced in one or two generations the secularization and modernization that took France centuries to accomplish. So in two generations from the 60s, Quebec has become very postmodern and very secular and has thrown out the baby with the bathwater. Because in throwing out the traditional religion that was so prevalent in Quebec, they've rejected as well the idea that God cares for them. And that God is a God of love and wants to bless them. They've thrown all that away. And so that's some of the challenge. Quebec's church attendance is the lowest in the country, even though it's almost 100% Roman Catholic. The lowest church attendance in the country. Matter of fact, any kind of churches, any evangelical churches, are looked upon as cults by the population. And one of the reasons for that is that the word in French for a cult is secte. But that's the same word that is used for a religious group. So in their mentality, anyone who's not part of the traditional religion is in a sect, which has the connotation of a cult. And so, born-again believers are few and far between, but I want to tell you, it's such a privilege to be ministering there, because when the gospel penetrates a heart, it's amazing the transformation and amazing how passionate they become for Jesus. John and Carol have been with us many times, and boy, do they ever love to praise the Lord when they get in God's presence and the Holy Spirit comes. They just love to party. I mean, we're talking party hardy, and we're talking really just loving God with all their hearts. They're passionate. And in a lot of ways, Quebec is a society of contradictions. It's an interesting observation. It's a society of contradictions because they're so happy and fun-loving and joyful people, and yet we have the highest rate of clinical depression in North America. You know, they love family and children. It's such a high value. It's amazed me ever since I've gone to Quebec. If you watch a little 8 or 9 year old child, and there's a smaller child around, he will be drawn to that little child like a magnet, and take him and play with him and make sure he's having fun. And you know, most English kids, it's get out of here, you know, little brother. Yeah. But here, these French Canadian kids, I mean, it's right away. They're carrying them around the church, and it's just there's such a high value in their DNA for family and for children. And yet, the contradiction is that we have the lowest birth rate and we have so many common law relationships. You know, there are people that are passionate about everything they do and yet so indifferent when it comes to the gospel. And so all of these things are, is it really a society in contradiction? I'm not so sure if it's a contradiction. I think it might be the indication that there's a satanic attack upon this people to rob them of their destiny and to steal away their God-stamped identity because that's who they are from God, is this joyful, passionate, family-loving people. Here's what Yonggi Cho, anybody ever heard of Yonggi Cho? Here's some things that Yonggi Cho said about Canada and Quebec. Let me find some of these here. Yonggi Cho was driving through Canada from Montreal to Vancouver in the 80s. Driving. And he was on a preaching trip. And he was feeling so badly in his heart about the church in Canada. And the church in Canada was small, and it didn't seem to be able to do much. And this is what he says. I was preaching from town to town, and while I was speaking, I felt somewhat depressed. The Canadian church seemed so small, but wherever I went, the Holy Spirit spoke in my heart that God was going to raise up tremendous churches in Canada, and that Canada would be used as a missionary sending country, and that Canada would open the way for Jesus Christ to return to this earth. Then he said this. This is in 1984. And he said this: I was afraid to confess that when I was praying, but the Spirit of God would impress on my heart to say it. I was afraid because I already thought that America was far greater than Canada. If ever God would use any country, he would use America instead of Canada, because America is a country of greater resources and more population. In 1995, he said this in Kelowna, BC, when he was thinking about who would be at the head of a missionary movement to touch the nations, and he was seeing this great gap in missionary effort. And he said this: I cried out and said, Father, who is going to come and fill this gap? And when I came to Canada, the Holy Spirit spoke in my heart, Son, you have come to the place which I chose. This country is the country I chose to fill the gap. Being Canadian is now a welcome hallmark throughout the whole world. This is now Yonggi Cho speaking. You have the welcome open door like the Philadelphia Church in Revelation. You have the finances, well-trained personnel, and a good church. God calls you to rise up and to meet the challenge before Christ comes. A clear-cut clarion trumpet sound is coming to Canada. Rise up, Canada. Meet the challenge. God wants your young men and your young women to rise up and give their lives as sacrifices. God needs your money, your businesses, your homes, your lives to be dedicated to Him. God is depending on you. I know you will do it. I know you are well able to do it. Now, Yonggi Cho, when he was in California, it was early 90s, and he's speaking at a pastor's conference, and he spoke these words, very strange words to speak at a pastor's conference in Southern California. He said, God has showed me a city where great revival will come, and there will be a great sending forth from that city, and the city was Montreal, Quebec. So that's the early 90s, we're saying. Almost 20 years in on this one, Father. We want to see the fulfillment of those words. Canada is really uniquely placed, isn't it? Uniquely positioned right now. One of the healthiest economies in the world. You know, we're poised for prosperity here in this nation. Second largest oil reserves on the planet. You know, and who knows what we're going to discover in the Arctic in the next few years. Let's make sure Stephen Harper stakes that out very, very carefully with the other nations who are trying to get in on what might be there, right? Canada's really uniquely placed. And let me come now to Catch the Fire in Montreal. Let's put up the next slides. This is the building that we have just acquired in Montreal to be the home of Catch the Fire Montreal. And let me just mention that Marcy and I were called to Quebec. I remember it well. It was the summer of 1981. And I was preparing to enter my last year at Bible College. And my plans were made. I was heading down to the States. I wanted to get a master's in theology. And I was working, actually, for the Bible College in Peterborough, Ontario that summer when God spoke specifically to me that we were going to Quebec. And this was a shock to me. It was definitely a shock to Marcia. And we went off after our final year of Bible college and studied French in Quebec City. And we're 6 years east of Quebec City in a small community in Charlevoix County planning a church. And then God called us to Montreal. And when God called us that year to Quebec, it was an interesting time because I was leading a prayer group at the Bible College that prayed for French Canada. Be careful when you start praying for other places. So I pray French Canada, and as I'm preparing my own heart for a new year coming up and what we're supposed to do in this prayer group, I felt the Lord say to me, and I started praying, you know, Lord, just send people into Quebec. Just send people into French Canada. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, well, how many do you want me to send? And before I could process what I heard the voice of the Lord say, I said, 12. And sort of just kind of plopped out there, you know, and I'm kind of looking at it. What am I saying? That would mean 12 graduates from my class going to Quebec, like learning French and going to Quebec. And we were about 96, 97 graduates that year. And I remember in a school assembly, we gave a presentation, and I said, you know, you got to be careful if you decide you're going to sign up to pray for French Canada, especially if you're graduates, because I believe that there are 12 that will be called to go and learn French. And at the end of the year, 12 of us went off to Quebec City to learn to speak French together. And now here's the point I want to make, is that 12 of us started out, some married couples, some single guys, and there were 12 graduates. And after we learned how to speak French, we were sent to 12 different areas in Quebec. Now, it's not hard to find places in Quebec to minister the gospel. There's not a lot of competition. I mean, I remember doing some ministry here in Ontario, Marcy and I, between 2 years of Bible college. We went to the town of Medoc. And at that time, I don't know what the population is today, but there's about 1,100 people, and there was 13 churches. And, you know, in Quebec, you can go for miles and miles and miles and drive through town after town after town of way more than 1,000, of 5,000, of 10,000, and there's no gospel witness. So it wasn't hard to find 12 places to send people to do ministry. And we began ministering in Quebec. We were making $406 a month, which was tremendous, because we had a mobile home paid for. We get to live in the mobile home. So we had $406 a month to live on. And God was always faithful. Always faithful to bring in the money. Because the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord. Today, of those 12 couples, we're the only ones left in Quebec. Matter of fact, we've been the only ones left in Quebec for about 15 years at least. Because it traditionally hasn't been an easy place to minister. And people do get discouraged. Be they English people learning French and ministering in French, be they French Canadian people raised up and preaching the gospel, people get discouraged. And so it traditionally hasn't been easy, but I want to tell you, we're not looking for any pity because it's been a blast to be able to minister God's love, especially since 1994. You know, because before 94, I was kind of in a different mold. I was trained that if you were going to preach, you had to preach and get mad when you preached if anyone was going to get saved. Do I hear an amen? And if you'd pray for people after you'd preached, you know, and I don't have a great big, you know, powerful voice. So after 45 minutes, preaching like that for 45 minutes, and then when you were going to pray, well, you had to pray the blessing of God on all these people. And so at the end of the meeting, I could hardly even talk anymore. I'd be so hoarse. And it was a lot about, okay, you've gotten saved now, you know, and we've taken you out of a religion where you were afraid of Jehovah angry. And now you've been set free, and now I want to show you your new father. Who's Jehovah Severe. Just waiting to see if you're going to measure up, you know. But since the Lord transformed us by a wonderful experience in his love, you know, it's been even more fun since 1994 to be ministering the gospel in the freedom of the Holy Spirit, pouring out the Father's love, and seeing people touched by the Lord. Now, Catch the Fire in Montreal, this building that we've just been able to purchase is in the west end of the city. We're in the west part of the island of Montreal. And the building cost $2.75 million. And for us to get this building has been really an amazing, amazing story. Because in Montreal, there are very strict zoning laws. And you cannot get property for religious purposes. So we were in a rental situation for many years, and you know, we were our rental costs, our building costs were around $10,000 or $11,000 a month. That's a lot for our congregation. We're probably about 200 people in our congregation. You know, that's you know, the adults, the kids, dogs, cats, parakeets, budgies, everybody together is probably about 200, and so that was a lot to carry for us. But even when we could find a parcel of land or a building that would be available, we weren't allowed to even put a bid on it because the city has a moratorium on zoning changes for religious purposes. Now, we had by faith given our notice where we were renting and looking for what we were going to do. This is last year. This is last spring. When a real estate agent drove down a main boulevard and thought of us, I wonder if they're still looking for property. Comes in and sees us and says, so you guys still looking? Yeah, we are still looking for something. And well, if I see anything, I'll let you know. He's driving down a main boulevard a couple of days later and sees this building. And it belonged to the Baha'i Association of Canada. And he said to himself, you know, I've seen less cars in their parking lot in the last little while. I think I'll call them and see if their building's for sale. There's no sign on the front lawn. It's not listed anywhere. He calls up the Baha'i head office here in Toronto and said, you've got a building in Pierrefonds, Quebec, in Montreal. Would you be interested in selling it? I said, well, maybe. So we started negotiations, and we had to start negotiations really clandestinely. We couldn't let anybody know. Because if other religious groups, even church groups, knew that this property was available, we'd get a bidding war going. So we didn't even tell our congregation. We just told them, okay, we found a place. We're negotiating. We can't tell you where it is. Can't tell you what it is. Just trust us. And came to them at the last minute when all the negotiations were done. Okay, here it is. And we're going to go this afternoon and go do a walkthrough and all of that. So it's amazing that we've been able to get this building. And one of the few, you know, buildings that could possibly come available for us. And since last year, when we decided, yep, we're going to go for this, we've been able to raise $600,000 as a congregation. And for us, that's absolutely astounding. Because we don't have any rich people in our congregation. This is just every you know, everybody saying, this we're doing. We're doing this for God. And it's really been amazing to see. The first conference we did, John and Carol were there at our first conference this past fall. I don't know if you can see that, but just a little way back there, it looks like Jeremy Sinnott's twin brother in the middle there. Actually, it is Jeremy, because Jeremy and Connie were there as well. But the situation that we're in presently is we're looking to secure a mortgage of $1.8 million. Now, we have $600,000 that's raised, and we need to raise the balance and then try and get a mortgage of $1.8 million. And so that's what we're looking at right now. Here's the kicker. We have to do it by September 30th. If not, we default on the agreement and the Baha'i Association takes the building back. Their representative, with whom we negotiated, dropped in about a month and a half ago, and or 2 months ago, and he's a businessman himself, and in all our dealings with him, he's always been very courteous, but curt, to the point. We get things done quickly, and well, this one day he comes in and walks into our administrator's office and takes off his coat and sits down. And she's kind of looking at him, what in the world's going on here? And he says, so how are you guys doing? And things going well? You enjoying the building? Yeah, things going well. So do you guys think you're going to be able to get the money together? And I'm sure we will. Yeah, things are going well. He looks at our administrator and he says, well, I need you to know this, that your gain is our loss, and we really regret selling you this building. He says, I'm getting emails and phone calls from people saying, what in the world have you done? And he said this. He said, when we got into negotiations with you, it was like we were in a fog. And things were just like going like a whirlwind, and all of a sudden we had given up the building to you, and now we're saying, what in the world? Because now they're looking for property, and guess what? There is no property available that's zoned for religious purposes. So they're just, you know, hungry to see us default on the agreement where we would lose our deposits and they would take the building back. But does anybody believe that our God is bigger than whatever gods they may be praying to? And so we don't know how it's going to happen. We're thankful to John and Carol that they're giving us an opportunity to present this here today. And maybe some of you will be able to help us. But we don't know how it's going to happen. But we know what's going to happen. We know what God wants to do. Let me just wrap this up this morning by saying this. You know, when I was in Bible college those days, I remember, and you know, there was, I said, you know, 12 people, and then during that year, 12 people came up to me and said, you know, we're going, we're going, we're going to learn French too, and all of that. And I said to the Lord, why Quebec? And why now? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, look to the French-speaking world. That's what I heard. Now, at that point in my life, the French-speaking world meant Quebec and, well, France. I knew nothing about the French-speaking world. So those were the days where if you needed some information, you had to get up out of your chair, walk to a library. Don't know if anybody know what a library is? So I went to a library, and I took out an encyclopedia. It's this big book, you know, and they came in a whole lot of volumes, and you look in the index, and I looked French-speaking world, and I was shocked to see how many countries in the world have French as an official, as the official language, or one of the two official languages. I was shocked to see how many countries in the world where French was part of the culture. And, I mean, if we just look at Africa, look at how much of that continent has French as the official language or an official language. That's amazing. Everything that's in the darker blue is where it's French is the official language. And what the Lord was showing me was that the revival, you know, I said, why Quebec, why now? And I had, you know, no idea what you know, Yonggi Cho obviously was going to be prophesying about the city of Montreal. But the revival that God is bringing to the province of Quebec is going to have such a great impact on the French-speaking nations of the world. Who wants to come on a missions trip to French Polynesia in Tahiti in February? I think that would be a good destination. That's part of the French-speaking world. You know, so many of the African nations are enjoying just what the gospel is bringing them. You know, in some African nations, you have 25% of people who are born again, up to 35, 40% in some nations. It's amazing. Except the French African nations. Most of the French African nations are 5 and 6% and far lower. And of course, in the Arab nations toward the top, you know, there again, we're talking about some of the same statistics you see. And the missionaries are not coming from France. Because France itself is destitute as far as knowing the river of God and the love of the Father. And I do bless God for the amount of French people that have come and evangelized, and I thank God for them. But I tell you, it's so precious few. And there's just so much work to be done. And part of our vision in Montreal is we're hoping by fall 2012 to have up and running a school of ministry in French where people can come and be trained up and then sent out into the province of Quebec and into the French nations of the world. Already God has given us great favor in West Africa and we're working in some of these West African nations and seeing what God is opening up is just amazing. John, I think I've told you before, but the pastors that we've met there as we come and we just share about the Father heart and share the message of the importance of forgiveness. They say to us, we've seen many whites come and we've seen many crusades and we've seen many promises. But this is the message that can heal our continent. And we sat, Marcy and I sat with a very high level politician in the nation of Togo just a few months ago. And as we shared with him the love of the Father, and he's not a believer, and we shared with him forgiveness and what that does, he looked at us toward the end of the evening and he said, I believe that this message is what will heal our nation. So I don't think we don't realize the treasure that we have, that you have in this church. You know, we kind of get used to it, don't we? But it's astounding what God is about to do. So let me just mention that I believe John is going to give an opportunity for people to sow into this part of the world, into what we're doing in Montreal. And let me just mention why people give. God's people are always so generous. Why? Well, because they know that he's able to give back in a myriad of ways, isn't he, when we give. You know, silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord. And the Lord always does give back whenever we give to him. God's people give because true riches are really the heavenly ones, are really the eternal ones. And so that's why Jesus said to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And then, you know, God is so wise. He knows it's a matter of the heart. So he said, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's so wise because he knows if you sow into Quebec, what's going to happen is, well, your treasure's there. So you're going to want to pray for us. You're going to want to intercede with us. You're going to cheer us on. You're going to want to what's going on over there. Because where you've put your treasure, that's where your heart's going to be. And also because Jesus will receive his inheritance. And the Quebecois are a nation. I'm not saying they're a country. Please hear me. I'm not saying that this is no separatist talk here. But they're a nation in that they're an ethnos. Like Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. The word ethnos, a people group. And so this people group, you know, we want to see Jesus receive this people group as his inheritance, the redemption that he's purchased for them by his blood. We want to see the Quebecois knowing that Jesus, he wore my shame and he bore my blame, but now I carry his name. Nothing will ever be the same. Jesus is what they need to know about, and Jesus will receive Quebec as his inheritance. And so people are willing to give because of those things. We've always seen that. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. Quebec is going to be such a big part of what God's going to do through Canada. It's such an important part of what God wants to do. And as we speak of the two things that have been born on the river of God to the church, you know, a revelation of the Father's heart and the importance of forgiveness. Well, how important is it that Quebec, that the French-speaking part of Canada and the English-speaking part of Canada would be healed, that there would be forgiveness, that the love of the Father would flow back and forth from one people group to another, that we would become this great beacon of hope to the nations, that this is what can happen among two people groups where, yeah, there's been a history of hostility and there's been a history of hurt and there's been a history of pain, but because of the love of God, because of the river of God flowing, these things can change. And as this healing comes, and as Quebec steps into its destiny, Canada can become this great mission-sending nation that the Lord showed to Yonggi Cho. And Quebec is going to be will be the vanguard of this missions army toward the French-speaking nations. So Quebec is so key to what's happening. Ask of me and I will give you the nations. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations. Could I ask you to stand? And I'd just like us, once again, as the body of Christ. You know, the Father says today, he said to his Son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, what do you want for a birthday present, as it says in the Message Bible? I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. So he's saying this to Jesus. The Father is saying to the Son, ask of me. And we are now the body of Christ here on earth. So can we ask the Father today for this nation? I'm not talking about the country of Canada now. I'm talking about this people group. Could I ask you to join me today as we ask for this nation? As we ask for the Quebecois people? As we ask for a release of God's destiny and a freedom of their identity, to be the people in God that he's calling them to be. You know, let me just say this before we pray. I just kind of feel in my heart to say this. You know, don't get ticked off by talk of separatism. And while, you know, the whole separatism debate in Quebec is kind of low-key right now, there could be a moment where it comes to the surface again. You just need some charismatic leader who can stir up, you know, passion and sentiment and play on bitterness, and it'll come to the forefront. But don't let the separatist rhetoric and what you hear deviate you from calling out to the Father for this nation. Because most Quebecois are not separatist. They are nationalists. They believe in their nation. They believe in their people. And I'm with them with that. And I applaud them for that. And if the Quebec government does something that ticks you off, well, don't let that change your passion to see God touch this people, because you may not be very happy about what the communist Chinese government does, but that doesn't stop you from giving to missions for China. So let's just cry out. We do that together. Can we just lift our voices? Father, 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 we're asking that Jesus receive his inheritance today. Father, we ask you for Quebec. We ask you for the Quebecois people. We ask you for this passionate, fun-loving, joyful, loving, and family-oriented people upon whom you stamp this identity. We're asking this people would be given to Jesus. We pray for a great harvest to come in. We pray, Father, that you'd send many into the harvest field. I pray that many would come from English Canada, would learn French, would go to towns, would go to cities, and would preach the love of the Father. I pray you'd raise up hundreds and hundreds to come. I pray you'd touch hundreds and thousands of young men and women in Quebec who will begin to take your word and the love of the Father. We pray for this nation. We pray for this people group. Let Jesus receive his inheritance, Father. Let Jesus receive his inheritance. We pray for healing in this country. We thank you that in your sovereign will, you have placed the French Canadians and the English Canadians together to be an example and a beacon for the nations of the world, where in so many countries the people groups are at each other's throats, killing each other, hatred and bitterness. Let us be the beacon of hope to these people. This nation united in the river of God, in forgiveness and the love of the Father. Father, we ask you for this nation, and we ask you to bless Canada from coast to coast. Let your blessing come. Let your blessing come. Let your blessing come. Father, I pray further. I pray for the day where we will see hundreds of young and not so young French Canadians invading the nations of the world, reckless, courageous, full of joy and fun, bringing the Father, bringing the message of Jesus. Let hundreds invade the nations. For Jesus' sake, we pray, Father. And so, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. The river of God, their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. The river is flowing. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. And on either side of the river, the Apostle John saw a tree of life which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of all people groups. So we've invited you to this exotic missions destination. Punch your ticket. Come on and lead some French Canadians to Jesus. Come and visit us in the great city of Montreal. And visit us at Catch the Fire, Montreal. God bless you, John.
Oh, Jerry, thank you for an awesome presentation. You know, we've been praying for our nation of Canada that this is our hour and that revival will sweep the land from sea to shining sea. And the Lord spoke to me in the midst of that and said, if you're really serious about that, then you need to get involved in Quebec, because it is, as Jerry pointed out, the most unevangelized area in the Western Hemisphere. And I began to get a vision for Quebec having the kind of explosive revival that's going on in Brazil right now, where Brazil has moved to the forefront, really, of a nation in revival and to a mission-sending nation, and it's just incredible. Like Randy Clark goes there very often, as do many teams from here. And he went the first time he visited a church that had about 1,500 people. When he went back the next year, there were 6,000. When he went back the next year, there were 15,000. And when he went back the next year, there was like 35,000. I don't know what it's going to be this year, but that's the kind of explosive growth that happened. And we have similar parallels there with a Latin culture that is devoid of the gospel and desperately hungry for something. How many want to sow into this today? Because, see, this is an opportunity. When Jerry lays out the unlikelihood of them getting a building and a facility, I mean, I've been a part of the process with him, looking and looking for years to get a building. And God has done it. And I just felt like we wanted to get behind this and really help him out. So Steve and I talked, and with Sandra and Carol and our team, and we felt, you know what, we really want Jerry to come and explain this to our congregation. And we committed to sow into it as a part of our legacy fund. And when we figured out the percentage that we were giving them, the percentage of the legacy fund, I think it was 10% of it going to Montreal, we realized that's really not enough. And they're going to need something like $500,000 to put this deal across. $500,000, that is. And why don't we stand together? And we're going to receive a second offering. I'm going to ask our usher team if they would get ready. And why don't you just bring them on up to the front, everyone. Just come on up and stand at the front. I want us to have the sense that we're bringing this to the Lord this morning. But before we do that, just while you're getting ready, by the way, make your checks out to Catch the Fire Toronto, and then we'll make sure you get a receipt for your giving and send one check off to Catch the Fire Montreal. But I have a verse here from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, where Paul is writing to them. And in verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I think of you guys reading that verse, because they just went for it in Montreal and are believing God against all odds, shall we say. And he writes in verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma and an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We often quote that verse, don't we? How many love that verse? My God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. But see, the backdrop of that is a giving church that Paul said that to. And think about this, like almost 2,000 years ago, there were people just like us who were giving to see the gospel go ahead in other parts of the world right there. And so that's what we want to do. And some of you may be stirred up to really give substantially to this. And I just want to say that at the end of the meeting, Jerry and Marcy are going to be back in the hospitality room back here. And if you would like to meet them personally and talk a little more about it, and you're thinking, you know, I want to sow into this, I want to help these guys, we must have a strong mission base in Quebec from which we can see all kinds of people raised up. He mentioned that we are beginning a school of ministry here. The training for that is a young man from France. He's coming back to our school in September. He'll be here for about, I think it's about 9 months, and then move to Montreal to begin the French-speaking school of ministry. And so we're just serious about this, and we want to see churches planted and missionaries sent out and all kinds of things going on all over the place. Can you agree with that? Then give me a big shout and say, yes, Lord. Oh, come on, a big shout. Jesus, come and heal this land, Lord God, and bring Quebec powerfully into the kingdom of God for your name's sake. In Jesus' wonderful name.